self-generating work. In fact, women who never have children enjoy the equivalent, listen to this, the equivalent of an extra 3 months a year in leisure time. A junior high science teacher one day was lecturing on the properties of magnets for an entire class session. The next day, he gave his students a quiz. The first question read like this. My name begins with an M. It has 6 letters, and I pick up things. What am I? Half the kids in the class wrote, Mother. That reminds me of the father who was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his 4-year-old daughter. He got out their wedding album, and he thought that visual images would help. So he explained the entire wedding service to her. And when he was finished, he asked if she had any questions. She pointed to a picture of the wedding party and asked, Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us? I remember hearing this quote. If Daddy ain't happy, who cares? If Mommy ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Ralph Waldo Emerson said this, men are what their mothers make them. An old English proverb says this, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. You know, there are some great portraits of motherhood in Scripture. I love the picture of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, who cared so much for her son that she actually broke the law in order to teach him the faith of his people. We see the sacrificial love of the mother who appeared before King Solomon and told him that she was willing to have her son taken away by another woman rather than see any harm come to this little child. Or what about the mother of James and John, who loved her boys so much that she wanted them to sit by the Lord's side in the heavenly kingdom. And then the mother of King Lemuel, who gave some advice to her son about godly living and how to pick a good wife. And of course that's found in Proverbs chapter 31. And I'm aware that Mother's Day also is a very difficult time for some of you. If you want to be a mother or wanted to be, but this has not been possible. Perhaps some of you have not had the best mother in the world. Some of you have had a mother maybe who has died. Some of you mothers may have lost a child. Some of you feel the pain of a wayward child this morning. Some of you are flying solo as you work hard to nurture your child's faith. This morning, I want to begin by saying this. A mother can make a significant spiritual impact on her children with or without the help of a father. Let me share with you such a case in the Bible. I'd like to introduce you to a young woman named Eunice. Eunice was raised in a religious home and was greatly impacted by her mother, Lois. She loved to learn the stories from the Bible when she was very young. She also enjoyed services where she could learn about God. And as she approached her teen years, she was still focused on spiritual matters. But she became attracted to a young man who is not that religious at all. No doubt against the best wishes of her godly mother and the teaching of her faith and the tug of her conscience, she married this man. Don't get me wrong, he was probably a nice guy, but he thought that spiritual matters were for weak people. After a couple of years of marriage, Eunice and her husband had a baby boy who they named Timothy. Somewhere along the line, Eunice's dad had died, so she asked her mother, Lois, to come and live with them. Little Timmy was a delight to everybody. Both his mother and grandmother spent hours with him. They taught him the stories of the Old Testament. They prayed with him and for him. They trained him in the things of God. And while they didn't have such things as VeggieTale videos or a one club nearby, they created a spiritual environment where Tiny Tim could flourish. Then one day, a preacher came along, and his name was Paul. He came to the town of Lystra. He spoke about a man named Jesus. Both Lois and Eunice listened very, very intently. They saw in Jesus the fulfillment of all of the Old Testament prophecies. And so they placed their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. They were converted. These new believers, in turn, focused on teaching Timothy all about who Jesus was. We know from reading the book of Acts that Paul himself took a personal interest in Tim, that teenager. And so, partnering with his mother and grandmother, he led him to saving faith. Later, Paul and Timothy partnered together in ministry as the gospel continued to spread throughout that area. Years later, while Paul is in prison, awaiting his execution, we find that he writes two letters to the young Timothy. These letters contain some teaching about how Timothy should behave as a church leader, and are also filled with some reminiscing and nostalgia on Paul's part. As Paul writes these letters, that we know as 1st and 2nd Timothy, he reflects on the mothers who made an impact in Timothy's life. So with that as a background, I'm going to draw from three different passages of Scripture, two of which are found in Paul's second letter to Timothy. I want to do that in order to show you how a mother and a grandmother can make a significant spiritual impact on their offspring, with or without the help of a father. Number one, the first way a mother can do this is by instilling within her child a respect for the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:14, we find that Paul urged Timothy to hang tough when tough times come. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Of course, referring to his parents. Timothy would not only learn things cognitively, he made a practice of owning what he studied by becoming convinced of its truthfulness. He didn't just fill his head with truth, but you know what he did? He internalized it and then lived it out. I think Timothy did this because he saw it modeled in his mother and in his grandmother and indeed in Paul himself. 2 Timothy 3:15 shows us what this truth was. It says this, "And how from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ." In the matter of devoted Israelites, grandmother Lois and mother Eunice, you see, taught the Holy Scriptures to Timothy from the very beginning. The word infancy in some passages refers to a newborn, baby, or to a toddler. Lois and Eunice teamed up to provide high-powered Bible study fellowship classes for young Timothy, even before he could crawl. They read to him. They taught him about Samson and Samuel and David and Ruth and Abraham and Noah. You see, they did everything they could to provide Timothy with the opportunity to learn all he could about the Bible. In essence, they lived out the commands of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 4 through 7. Listen to what it says. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk on the road, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You see, these two mothers had God's word in their hearts. Because they had internalized the truth into their own lives, you see, they could impress it upon young Timothy by talking about it during the day. They showed Tim how the scriptures could impact every area of his life. Mothers, it is never too early to start teaching the Bible to your children. And friends, it is never too late to start if you haven't already. The thing is, wherever you are in this whole process, it's never too late to start. There's nothing that can replace that role in your child's life. God wants to use you to instill within your children a respect for the Bible. Thankfully, you do not have to do all of this by yourself. We have a Bible-based Sunday school program for our children, 5-day club this summer, and a youth ministry that teaches the Word of God in a way that kids can understand and can embrace it. These programs are all designed to assist you in helping your children learn the Word of God. The job of a Sunday school teacher is to supplement what parents are doing in the home. But keep in mind, at best, if kids could possibly be in the church for an hour of teaching every Sunday of the year, that would only amount to 52 hours compared to more than 3,000 hours a year you have your children at home. Four scholars were arguing over Bible translations one day, and one said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty and because of its eloquent Old English. Another said he liked the New American Standard Version for its literalism and how it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. The third scholar was sold on the New Living Translation for its use of contemporary phrases and idioms that capture the meaning of difficult ideas. After being quiet for a moment, the fourth scholar admitted, he said, "I have personally preferred my mother's translation." When the other scholars started laughing, he said, "Yes, she translated the scriptures. My mom translated each page of the Bible into life. It is the most convincing translation that I have ever read." Isn't that wonderful? Mothers, what kind of Bible is your child reading when he or she observes your life? Are you looking for ways to instill a respect for the Word of God into the lives of your children? Remember, you can make a significant impact on your children. Number two, the second way to make an impact in the lives of your children is by instilling in them an authentic faith. We see this in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. It reads this way: "Having reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Even though Lois and Eunice were believers, Timothy needed to come to a point in which he was willing to put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Faith is not hereditary. Faith is learned. At the same time, when mothers model genuine faith, an environment is set up whereby children will be most often motivated to want the same kind of faith. You know, the word sincere in that verse relating to faith means that it was unhypocritical. It was real. It was without any pretense or any false facade. Faith had come and taken up residence in Tim's mom's heart and in his grandmother's heart, and was now alive in his own heart. These two mothers were completely sold out to Christ. They were very serious about their faith. They were fully devoted and completely committed. And Timothy knew it. And listen, no one knows better than a child whether a parent's faith is genuine or not. Notice the chain here. Lois, to Eunice, to Timothy. And again, we don't read of a grandfather or a father anywhere in this equation. Now, that's not to say that a father is not important. He is. What I am saying is this: a mother can make a significant spiritual impact on her children with or without the help of a father. Moms, if you want to instill authentic faith in your children, then you better take your own spiritual life seriously. If you're just going through the motions spiritually, you see, your kids will eventually see it. And tragically, they may do exactly the same thing when they get older. As you demonstrate your faith consistently by reading the Bible, by praying, by attending worship, by bringing your kids to programs that help them grow spiritually, by participating in the life and mission of the church, and of course, living out your faith in everyday life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to send a strong message to your children. I heard recently about a pastor who had a long conversation with someone who wanted to become a member of the church who was thinking about it. And when he was done, the young man said to, that he was talking to, he said that was ready to join, that is, the pastor was curious to ask him a question. He said, "So, what did I say that convinced you to join the church?" The man answered, "It was nothing I ever heard you say. It was all the way my mother lived." As I think about the kind of faith that was passed from a mother to a son, I am convinced that a mother like this has to be more interested in having her children know about the Bible and being able to speak another language before they're six. She is also more interested in her child's soul than in their bodies or in their clothes. Her children's eternal life than their success in this life. Her children's relationship with Jesus than their popularity in the world. Her children's stand before God than their social status. Her children's spirituality than their intellectual, musical, or athletic accomplishments that they may make. While it isn't in the text, a mother who passes along a faith that is authentic is without doubt a praying mother. Any home in which faith is passed on from generation to generation has to be a home of prayer. One cannot imagine Lois not praying for Eunice or Eunice not praying for Timothy. We read in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, that the mother of John Mark opened up her home for a prayer meeting while Peter was in prison. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we find that Mary, the mother of Jesus, joined together constantly in prayer with the disciples. That's the hallmark of a godly mother. Timothy's family environment was fertile for his faith development. Both his mother and his grandmother held their faith deeply, and they were willing to share it freely. How fertile is the environment in your family for the reproduction and the nurturing of authentic faith in the lives of your children and grandchildren? Mothers, are you passing along a legacy of authentic faith to your kids? It's important. The third way to impact your children is to instill in them a desire for ministry. After Paul preached in Lystra and Timothy was converted, he returned a short time later. Let's pick up the story in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. He came to Derbe, and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. You see, I see three qualities in Timothy that were no doubt passed down from his mother and from his grandmother. First of all, Timothy was a strong believer. He's referred to as a disciple. Luke, the author of Acts, could have referred to him as a believer or a Christian, but instead he chose to call him a disciple. You see, a disciple is a learner, a follower. A disciple was one who was serious about Christ, not just one who was going through the motions. As we've already established, his mother modeled this type of authentic, no-holds-barred kind of faith. 2 Timothy 2 had a good reputation. He had a good reputation, Timothy did. The believers in that area spoke well of him. People knew him as a man of integrity and a man of the word. He was rock solid. Again, this had a lot to do with his mother and with his grandmother. Third, Timothy was available. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. As you continue to read the book of Acts, you see that Timothy was eager to get involved in ministry. He knew it meant leaving home. He knew it meant facing hardship. Friends, it is highly unlikely this kind of commitment to ministry develops if it has not been first encouraged at home. Sometimes it does without it, but in most cases it doesn't. When Paul stopped in Lystra for the second time, he enlisted Timothy to be his special assistant to replace John Mark. Paul refers to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:2 as his own son of the faith. In Philippians 2:20, Paul can't think of anyone like Timothy when he writes, "I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare." You see, Paul thought very highly of Timothy, and he couldn't wait to unleash him for ministry. Mothers, part of your job is to instill a respect for the Bible. Another responsibility is to instill authentic faith. Friends, these two elements are only preliminary for the most important job of all. That is of instilling your children a desire to get involved in some kind of ministry. You see, our kids need to learn the Bible. And they need to grow in their faith so they can become game changers in our world. So they can share their faith with others at school and wherever. So they can minister in the church. And I want to say at this point that as a church, I think we need to improve in our role of assisting you to do that. So that your kids can serve with their spiritual gifts, their talents, their interest in the church where they attend. So they can serve those who are hurting. So they can serve as missionaries if God should call them to do so. I want us as a church to assist you in helping your kids identify their spiritual gifts and thus use them on a regular basis. You see, the truth of the matter is this. We are saved to serve. We are to be disciples so we can disciple others. We are equipped so that we can evangelize. Susanna Wesley, mother of 17 children, two of whom were John and Charles Wesley, spent 1 hour each day praying for her children. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour each week to discuss spiritual matters. No wonder her children were used of God, bring blessing to all of England, and indeed to other parts of the world. I came across some parenting guidelines that I think would be helpful for any mother in giving good guidance to her child. Here they are. Number one, teach the child to pray as soon as he can speak. Number two, give the child nothing he cries for, and only what is good for him if he asks it politely. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed. rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Commend and reward good behavior. Strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. That is so essential. Let me summarize it this way. Mothers, you can make a significant spiritual impact in your family. I want to close this morning by reading a poem entitled, My Mother. Your love I know, I've seen your tears. You've given to me my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife to see that I could have the best that you could give to me. You gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall because you held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you help me day by day. You show me how to give and to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me and to be aware that life is soon going to pass. So, to spite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. I want to applaud all mothers here today who take the task seriously, making a spiritual impact in the lives of your children. Remember a couple of Proverbs that I'd like to leave with you. Proverbs 31, verse 28 says, her children rise and call her blessings. Proverbs 31:30 says that a woman who fears the Lord is to be greatly praised. May our prayer be that of our closing hymn, God give us homes built firm upon the Savior, because you know the end result will be worth it.